Well, we've got some work to do, don't we? Say, I'm called to do a work in this earth. And whatever God calls you for, He equips you. Amen? When a person gets born again, God begins to work on you. He begins to work on your character. All right, He gives you a new nature. You are partakers of the nature of God. And when a person gets born again, when they accept Jesus Christ as Lord, you are immediately entered into His family. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but that's not the end. That's the beginning. Hallelujah. And then as you walk with God, He's going to show you things. He's going to speak to you. He's going to reveal His plan for you. Every one of us was created on purpose for a divine purpose. Say, I've been created on purpose for a divine purpose. You want to fulfill God's divine purpose for your life. Amen? So, we're looking at how we can do the works of God. But in order to do that, we're going to have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Because He's the power that brings your task to completion. Amen? Without the Holy Spirit, your work will not amount to anything. Ask Solomon, who was the wisest man on the earth in his time. And he wrote about all the things that he did on his own. After a while, his heart was turned from God because of the women and the horses that he got involved with. And he wrote a phrase, vanity of vanities, right? He had all this knowledge, but it was vain. Okay? So we want to do the works of Jesus. I want you to go with me to John chapter 5. Last week we talked about the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't have time to get into that, so if you can, listen to the message from last week, and that'll be a blessing to you. But in John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus was talking here, and He answered them, "My Father works hereto, and I work." Did you know that God is working right now? What kind of work is God doing? He's what? Good work? A mighty work? But specifically, what is His work? What kind of business is God in? Saving souls. He's in the people business, right? He's all about people. For God so loved the world. Well, who's in the world? People. What did He do? He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever, how many whosoevers are in this world? That's everybody. We're all a whosoever. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a whosoever. So, He said, my Father is working and I work. The Amplified said, I must work. Okay? And let's go down to verse 19. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatsoever things He does, these also do the Son likewise. So, who was the example for Jesus to work? And where was the Father while Jesus was working? also he was in him, because he said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Now, is the Father flesh? What is the Father? He's spirit. So what Jesus was saying was that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Just like we can say, I'm in the Father and his spirit is where? In me. Do you know how close of accessibility you have to the Father? He's right here, living on the inside of you. Did you know that you've got the greatest encyclopedia living on the inside of you? You've got the Holy Spirit who was in creation. He was hovering over the waters. He was waiting for God to speak so that he could activate God's word. And he's in you. He knows everything about everything, and he's in you. So Jesus was looking to the Father, just like we need to look to Jesus. Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You know that Jesus is the author of your faith? And he's the finisher. Well, who fills the middle? If Jesus is the author and the finisher, who fills the middle of your faith? You do. And if you want to write a good book, you got to look to Jesus. Amen? So the Father, he loves the Son and he shows him what he does. The Father discloses everything that he wants to do. If you want to know why God brought you to this earth, all you have to do is ask. Your purpose in life is yours to discover. It's already there. You're already equipped to fulfill it. And when you start doing what God purposed for you, you will have the most ecstatic joy that you could ever imagine. Okay? And then go down to verse 30. Jesus again, he said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. What do you suppose Jesus was listening to when he said, as I hear, I judge? He was listening to the Father. Does the Holy Spirit have a voice? Sometimes it's a still small voice on the inside of you. Sometimes if God needs to really get your attention, he can. You know, for the Apostle Paul, Jesus had to appear to him on the road to Damascus, surrounded him with a great light. Why? Because Paul needed that. I've never had that because thank God I didn't need that. Amen? But God knows how to get in touch with you. God knows how to reach with you. God's got your number. And it's on speed dial. So while Jesus was working, he was listening. He was judging according to what he was hearing. Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in this hour and in this moment? So God enables, equips, and energizes you to do his work. Go to John chapter 6. Go to John chapter 6, verse 27. We're going to read verses 27 through 29. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto eternal life. You know, there are some things that we do in life that don't have any eternal value. And that's okay to do those once in a while, but he's talking about labor, your work. Did you know that everything you do for God should be a calling? If you serve the children, it should be a calling. You should treat everything you do for God like a ministry. Because you are ministering, you are serving, and it's ultimately for the Lord. Then they said unto him, verse 28, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What do you need to do to work the works of God? Anybody know? Listen to him. He said this, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to him, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. So how easy is it to do the work of God? It's done by faith. Say, the work of God is done by faith. It's going to require faith, your faith, believing in God, trusting in God, relying on God, being confident in God to do the work that he's called you to do. Okay? Are you with me so far? All right? Go with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. And I want you to look at verse 19. Luke 24, 19. This is about the two guys on the road to Emmaus after Jesus was resurrected. Okay? And we're jumping in the middle of their conversation. He had just asked them about the things that were supposed to come to pass. And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. Notice this phrase. Mighty indeed, and what? What do you suppose the mighty indeed is referring to? The Holy Spirit, or the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power behind every work of God. Even if people come to God, they're drawn by who? The Holy Spirit. How can someone get born again? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. The angel told Mary, she said, how is this going to happen? He said, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. So it was by the Holy Spirit that she was going to become pregnant and carry the Messiah. The Holy Spirit is the workhorse of God. He's the power generator. Okay? So he was mighty indeed. And he was mighty in word. All right? And in order to tap into that, it is always by faith. Things of God are not often accidental. You know? Every benefit that God has does not come upon you automatically because you're a Christian or because you're a good person. If we could be a good person, we wouldn't need the Savior, would we? So it doesn't come by how good we are. It doesn't come by who we are or where we're from or what our name is. It comes by faith in God alone. Everything you need from God, everything you want from God, everything you desire from God comes by faith. Everything. Okay? Now go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, let's go to verse 25. We're getting into how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, And the Holy Ghost was where? See, this was before Jesus was resurrected, so the Holy Spirit was upon people. He wasn't dwelling in people. Okay? But I want you to notice, he was just, he was devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was expecting something, wasn't he? See, did you know that expectation, hope is really expectation of something good? How many are expecting God to move in your life? How many expect God to move in your life no matter where you are? You know, God is not just limited to services when believers come together. He wants to work in everyday life. He's an everyday God. He wants to be involved in your daily affairs. He wants to be involved in every area that affects you. And here was this man, Simeon. He was just, he was devout, he was walking in the light that he had. Okay? And he was expecting something. And the Holy Ghost was on him. What's it feel like when the Holy Ghost is on you? It feels good. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, he's holy, he's pure, he's good, he's the Spirit of truth. There's nothing bad about the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, verse 26. It was revealed unto him by who? Okay. Here, the Holy Ghost was on Simeon. And God wanted Simeon to do something. Okay? And the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon what he wanted to do. Because God communicates to you through the Holy Spirit. His network is the HSN, the Holy Spirit network. He doesn't need towers. He can communicate directly to your heart. Okay? So what did the Holy Ghost reveal to Simeon? That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So the Holy Spirit showed Simeon. He revealed to him. How did he reveal to him? The Bible doesn't say. Maybe he had a vision. Maybe he heard a voice. Maybe he had a dream. I don't know. There's all kinds of ways that the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you. But Simeon knew that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Christ, until he saw Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So he had this promise that nothing was going to happen to him until he saw. How many know? He had to believe that. If God reveals something to you, you've got to believe what he's revealing. Amen. If you don't believe it, you might miss it. You could hear all about healing that you want, but if you don't believe it, you might not get healed. Because you've got to activate what God says by faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Can you see how the Holy Spirit was guiding him in even little things? You know that God's concerned about the little things that concern you? He wants you to have the best deals. He wants you to have the most favor. He wants you to have, he wants goodness. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall what? Follow me how long? All the days of my life. How many believe that goodness and mercy are following you now? When you go into the shower, goodness and mercy are there with you. When you go to lunch, goodness and mercy are there with you. So that means if you had faith that goodness and mercy are following you, you should expect goodness and mercy to occur everywhere you go. He came by the Spirit. Notice, the Holy Spirit revealed something to him. The Holy Spirit was on him, and now he came by the Spirit. He was letting the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct him. And I'm sure that the Holy Spirit said, "You know what? You need to go to the temple today." Okay. How many know that it wasn't Simeon's agenda, it was the Holy Spirit's agenda? Okay? And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. He had a release from what the Holy Spirit revealed to him. He was now seeing what the Holy Spirit revealed to him come to pass. Okay? He said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in what?" See, when you have the Holy Ghost, see, we have an advantage over Simeon. We don't just have the Holy Ghost on us, but we have him in us. If you have the Holy Ghost in you, you have peace, you have joy, you have love, you have patience, you have long-suffering, you have the ability, you have strength, you have power. "Let your servant depart in peace according to your word." That's a faith statement. According to your word is a faith statement. See, when you're in faith, you're letting the word of God govern your thoughts, words, and actions. Okay? "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. See, when the Holy Ghost is come, when the Holy Ghost is on you and in you, and you're letting him lead you, he's going to cause you to prophesy, which is what he was doing. He was speaking under inspiration and divine utterance. And Mary and Joseph were like, "Wow, this is cool." You may think that this is a simple story, but it really pictures how we need to let the Holy Spirit lead us. "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." So isn't it awesome? Was Simeon cooperating with the Holy Spirit? He went to the temple when the Holy Spirit was leading him to. He walked in the promise that the Holy Spirit revealed to him. He was secure in what God said. And he knew that he wasn't going to leave this earth until he saw what the Holy Spirit said he was going to see. That's confidence. That's trust. That's what we need to operate and to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know, God doesn't do anything in this earth without first revealing it to his servants, the prophets. Amos 3:7. Why does God need to reveal things to man? Because man has dominion on the earth. Where did man get that dominion? God gave it to him. You read Genesis 1. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle of the ground, over every creep. See, I've got dominion over creeps. We are supposed to have dominion, but the only way that we're going to have dominion is if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Now, does the Holy Spirit agree with complaining? No. Does he agree with criticism? No. Does he agree with doubt? So, If those things are in our life, how well are we going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? We're going to have to deal with the doubt. We're going to have to deal with the criticism. And we're going to have to change if we want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes there are things that our flesh does that the Holy Spirit doesn't like. And guess what? You will probably do things that the Holy Spirit doesn't like. I will probably do things that the Holy Spirit doesn't like. Does that make you a bad person? Oh my gosh, you didn't do what the Holy Spirit wanted you to do. No, just repent, move on, accept His forgiveness, and go on. Because guess what? We live in this unregenerated body. And I don't know about you, but there are some days where I just don't keep my body under like I should. But if we want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, go with me to John chapter 14. I want to point some things out to you about the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15, and 16 in the last few moments that we have here, okay? John 14, and let's go down to verse 26. Oh, wait. Before we do that, let's read verse 10. Okay? John 14, 10. Jesus is talking to Philip. And he said, Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that, where? Dwells in me. What does the Father do that's dwelling in Jesus? He does the works. When you witness to someone about Jesus Christ, who's actually witnessing? Jesus or the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit inside, He's doing the work. So guess what? You don't necessarily have to worry about what you're going to say or what you're going to do. You just have to deliver the message. Come on. That takes the fear out of witnessing. You don't have to let the devil say, what are you going to say? What are you going to do? Because it's the Holy Spirit who does the work. You just show up and let Him work. Now, you should pray and prepare and study. You know, one time I went witnessing, and I hadn't prepared beforehand, and it wasn't good. Let me tell you from experience, if you're going to go out witnessing, pray, study, and prepare your hearts. Because you will encounter demonic principalities. Let me just tell you this quick story. My friend and I, they were having the taste of the Illinois Valley. A lot of different restaurants were in this park, and people were gathered, and there was all kinds of different food items. And my friend and I, we were there witnessing because we love to witness. We look for opportunities to witness, to share the gospel. And we were there. We hadn't prayed, but we were just there faithful. So this guy comes along. It was about 40 degrees outside. He had no socks, no shoes, and his hair stuck out the sides. He looked like Bozo the Clown as far as his hair. His hair was like sticking out on each side. Like he had just touched a highly electrified thing, piece of metal, okay? And he came to us and he said, I can squeeze the Bible and open it to anything that I want. And we did know this. When you're witnessing, don't give the devil a microphone, okay? In other words, you don't let the devil do what he wants to do. So finally, he came to us. He said, I've got my spirit warriors. You get yours, and I'll meet you in center field or the ballpark. Well, we were dumb enough to respond to that. And we met him in center field because we did have our spirit warriors, which is the Holy Spirit. Word of God, and we were sitting there in center field in the ballpark, me, my friend, and this guy. And we told him, we tried to get him to say, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And for three times, he said, he who is in me is greater and he's in the world. And then all of a sudden, from a sitting position, he pounced on my friend. And he had his neck pinned to the ground like this. And so we just took our authority. We said, in the name of Jesus. And finally, he just let up. But my point is, we weren't prepared like we should have been, but God delivered us anyway. Amen? And when you learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, it is so important to be able to hear His voice, to be able to recognize His voice above other voices. Okay? Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Aren't you say the Holy Ghost is a Comforter? He'll bring you peace and keep you warm at the same time. Which whom the Father will send in my name. So the Holy Spirit is sent to you. He's assigned to you. Okay? He shall, what's he going to do? He's going to teach you how many things? And he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. These are interesting keys about the Holy Spirit. He's sent by God. He is a comforter. He is just like Jesus in the sense that they have the same nature. The Holy Spirit is God, just like Jesus is God. Okay? And he's a teacher. So how many love to learn? See, if the Holy Spirit's going to teach you all things, you got to let him teach sometimes. Is there anybody here that knows everything? We'll have a prayer for people at the end of the service that think they know everything. So you've got to be open then for the Holy, because listen, sometimes we don't understand everything. And we have to be taught. Okay? What's happening right now? You're being taught. And I guarantee you, I'm not doing this alone. Because before every time I get to speak, I ask the Holy Spirit, you know, what do you want to say to the people tonight? And I want you to know that, you know, in verse 10, you've got to believe that he's in you. When you believe that the Holy Spirit's in you, it's going to produce confidence. You know, how would it have been if David would have went before Saul and said, you know what, that giant's kind of big. I don't know if I can take him. How confident would that be? Listen, you've got to be confident in who you are in Christ and who is in you. Who's in you? God is in you with all of his power, all of his resources, all of his strength, all of his grace. He's in you. God is in you. That ought to make you confident when you face challenges. And you know, you can do the same works that Jesus did because, number one, it's by faith, and number two, it's by the same Spirit. Okay, verse 27. Notice now, after Jesus just got done saying that the Comforter is going to come to you, he said, peace I leave with you. Notice what he said, my peace I what? What do you think that's in relation to? The Holy Spirit. Because who gives us the Holy Spirit? John said, I baptize you with water, but he who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So Jesus is going to give you his peace. The peace that he had when people wanted to kill him and he just walked away. The peace that he had when his number one supporter named Peter denied him three times. It's a peace that we need. Because he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. God's peace from the Holy Ghost will deal with it'll help your troubled heart. And he'll protect you from trouble and fear. Because notice this peace, he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, and it's in conjunction with the peace that he gives you. Say, my heart's not going to be troubled, and my heart is not going to be afraid. Say, I'm not afraid, and I'm not troubled. That word troubled is to worry, is to take on care and concern. You're not to be anxious for anything. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. Nada. Zip. So God's peace from the Holy Spirit will protect you from trouble and fear. Let's go to John chapter 15. Let's go down to verse 26. So what's the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to comfort you. He's going to teach you. He's going to give you peace. Okay? John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of what? So when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he will never contradict God's word. He is in harmony, unity, and complete agreement with the word. Why? Because he wrote it. Holy men of God were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. So he's the Spirit of truth, so he's always going to lead you in the truth. Okay? If someone does something against the word of God, you can guarantee that they're not being led by the Holy Spirit, because he's the Spirit of truth. Okay? Jesus said, I am the way, the what? So he's also the Spirit of Jesus, isn't he? Because he's the Spirit of God and Jesus is God. I love how that little dot connects. Thank you, Lord. Okay? Which proceeds from the Father, he shall what? So, if someone is bringing honor to themselves, are they being led by the Holy Spirit? No, because the Holy Spirit always testifies of who? Jesus. So when something good happens in your life, say, look what the Lord has done. It's not what I've done, right? Anything bad that happens, say, look what the devil did. Anything good that happens, say, look what God has done. Okay? If the slightest little good thing happens, give glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Magnify God. Make God bigger. Amen? He shall testify of me, and he shall also bear witness. You will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Okay? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's going to give you power to do what? Acts 1:8. Power to what? Say, I'm a witness. What does a witness do? A witness tells what they saw, what they heard, and what they know. That's all you're responsible for in telling someone else about Jesus. Tell what you know, tell what you saw, and tell what you heard. So help me God. All right, let's go to John chapter 16, verse 7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Can you imagine if Jesus was still walking this earth? We would not be filled with the Holy Spirit. But Jesus had to go so that he could come. Sometimes there are necessary transitions in your life that must occur. And sometimes you get caught up in because you don't understand why something is happening. And you get caught up in the lack of understanding. But sometimes God just may be working out something greater. Jesus had to go so the Holy Spirit could come. If he didn't go, he wouldn't come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. I want you to know how personal the Holy Spirit is. He's sent to who? He sent to you. Say, the Holy Spirit has been sent to me. He's assigned to help you. He's assigned to empower you. He's assigned to lead you, as many as are led by the Spirit. Like Simeon, he was led by the Spirit. You know, you need to let the Holy Spirit lead you in relationships. You know, a relationship is a big decision, right? Who you marry is a big decision. Where you invest your money, big decision. Big purchases, big decisions. But you have a Holy Spirit, you have a Comforter that will help you with every one of those decisions. He wants to help you. You just got to cooperate with him. First of all, you got to listen to him. You know, if he's trying to teach you something and you say, oh, I know that. You know, if I'm trying to teach you something and all I get is I know that, guess what? I'm not going to be teaching anymore. Well, if you already know it, then I don't have to teach you. We got to listen to him. He knows what he's talking about. He knows more than we do. Verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will reveal to the world what is sin. He will reveal to the world what is right, and he will reveal to the world about God's judgment that's coming. Sometimes people need a wake-up call in the world. Go to verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? Guide you into what? So he will tell you, turn here. Go over here. Stand there. He's guiding you. You got to let him guide you. And you don't have to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to eat tomorrow? I mean, come on. You know, he's not going to tell you what to eat unless what you're about to eat is going to harm your body. But, you know, don't take it to extreme. You know, I got to fast and pray to know what I'm going to have for lunch. Come on. Okay, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will what? Show you what? Wouldn't it be nice to know what's going to happen ahead of time? There was only one man in Egypt that knew what was coming. The Pharaoh was shown it, but he didn't understand it. He didn't know what to do with it. But Joseph did. Why? Because he had a different spirit in him. He had wisdom. God planted him, and God showed Joseph the interpretation. He showed him what was to come because that helped him avoid danger. 7 years of plenty. Okay, during those 7 years, take 20% and put it away. Because then after that's going to come 7 years of famine. That's preparation. He'll show you things to come so that you can prepare. Guess what? Preparation time is never lost time. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. He always magnifies Jesus. If you want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, let Jesus increase and you decrease. Isn't that what John did? All the things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, I've got this righteousness. Let me show you how this works. I've got this peace. Let me show you how to operate in this peace. He said, oh, I've got this joy. Let me show you how to tap into this joy. Oh, I've got this power. Let me show you how this power works. Remember when Paul tried to go into Asia? What prevented him from going there and minister the gospel? The Holy Spirit said no. Then he went over here, the Holy Spirit said no. But then he had a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come. So guess what? The Holy Spirit showed him where to go. He showed him what to do. I didn't become a pastor one day because I said, you know what? Being a pastor is pretty cool. I think I'll be a pastor. No, it was a divine call from God. And I went where God said go. When he said go here, I went there. When he said do this, I did that. If I hadn't done that there, I wouldn't be doing this here. Because you got to learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He loves you. He is the architect of your life. He will help you carry out God's divine design for why you were created. And it is so easy to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He'll bear witness with your spirit that you're children of God. When you don't know what to pray for as you ought, you can pray in the Holy Ghost and he'll pray out God's perfect will. The Holy Spirit is here to help you. He's here to lead you, to guide you, to nurture you. You have access to the Holy Spirit, to all of his knowledge, all of his experience, all of his skill. Amen? He'll help you overcome every problem. He has a solution to every problem. And through the Holy Spirit, you have access to the supernatural. Does anybody need a touch in their body right now? Does anybody? I want you to come up, and Aaron, we want to pray for you. Anybody else need a touch in their body right now? You can just stand right there. You believe that God's a healer? It doesn't matter how the body got broken. He can repair it. He can fix it. Because he's got the power. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I give you thanks and praise for touching Aaron in his body right now. I command the pain to go. I command every joint, ligament, tendon to come back into the right place in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you bore his pain and you took away his sickness, and by your stripes, he is healed. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to restore health to him in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for touching him by your power right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You believe that you're recovering? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, restore health to him in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give you thanks and praise right now, Father, for the power of God to heal in and out and all around in the name of Jesus. Father, I break every curse. I break every curse. I break every negative word. I come against everything, Father. What the devil meant for evil, you're going to bring good out of it right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I give you thanks and praise that you're setting and making everything right, putting it in the right place in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's happening, Aaron? Does anybody feel like they need to say some words? If you don't, that's okay. And if you do, that's okay. There's no pressure. Amen? But does anybody feel impressed, like they need to speak some words? Yeah. Amen. Didn't he do that for us?
I just want to share an acronym that Aaron shared with us on the road here. That God has revealed to me and we get to share. He said, word top, in order to get to the top, we have to put treasure over pleasure. Word top is T-O-P, treasure over pleasure.
That's God's treasure. So, the reason that God is equipping us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit is because there's more He wants us to do. Amen? And the only way that we're going to experience His goodness is if we cooperate, collaborate, coincide, communicate with the Holy Spirit who's in you. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise that you're helping us, leading us, guiding us, and directing us by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that each one of us would hear your voice more clearly. Father, that we would obey more quickly. We would trust more diligently. And we would step out in faith unreservedly. In Jesus' name, amen.